Good morning. I'm going to do the announcements today. welcome to Oakwood Bible Church. I am not Kevin Grubbs, but hopefully I can do just as okay of a job. Look to your worship folder this morning for all of our announcements, but there is one specific announcement I wanted to read. The Giving Christmas Tree is out in the foyer, so come help clear the tree and bless those in need. Return gifts by December 13th. If you have any questions, ask Lisa Meyer or Melinda Kiwi. If you would, stand with us this morning as we enter into our worship time.
Stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have reached. Search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless birth, no one could express how much you search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give. Rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on.
Hello? I'm not Tom Elia. My name is Bill Hollett. I'm glad to be here. Tom, it was his turn to pray, but he couldn't be here, and so he asked me to fill in. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, saying, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. If you'll join with me silently as I pray aloud, we'll try and do that very thing here today. Heavenly Father, we come up to you and pray for our kings. We don't have kings here in our country. We have presidents and governors and officials. We pray for them, and we ask God that you'd bless them. In our country right now, we've got elections, and things seem to be in an uproar. We ask, Heavenly Father, that the light of your truth would reveal the things that are good to know. And we ask, Heavenly Father, we might be able to stand on those things. We want to intercede, Heavenly Father, and ask for different people whom we're concerned about, people in our own lives, people related to us. We pray for Marv Van Tool and Lisa McKinder, Chad Bowman, and we pray for Gary Cortman looking for a job. We pray for our church and its leaders. We pray for Pastor Bill looking forward to retirement soon. We pray for the elder board and the deacons and ask that you might bless them, enable them to do good here in our church. We pray for our church ministries, and we ask that you'd bless each and every one as they minister to the different members of our church and the different people associated with us. We think of our military people, Heavenly Father. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. David fought the enemies of Israel. They were brave men, and they fought, and you're with them. And we pray for those same sort of things for people we know in the military. We pray for Josh Browning, Alex Sulka, Sokum Chim, Chris Wells, Brandon Little, and Daniel Oaks. We think of our college students. They're right on the cusp of adulthood, Heavenly Father. They need to learn the truth, not just being told, but being able to see it, that they might stand upon it. And so we pray for Ben and Bridget Crowfoot and Benjamin Famiano, for Jade Galler and Connor Meyer, Maddie Peterson, Andrew Thomas, and we pray for Alana Whitehead and Emma Whitehead. Some people have had needs, Heavenly Father, for quite a while, and we pray for them that they might be encouraged that you're with them. We think of Natalie Bowman, Diana Crenshaw, Margaret Dutton, Niall Fassett, Gustav Kavanaugh, Janet Klosterman, Dane Leister, Joellen Little, Patty Livingston, Eunice Maston, Ron Parks, Amy Smith, Carol Aldridge's daughter, Scott Weed, and Sherry Felton's brother. Heavenly Father, your Holy Spirit does not get infected by any virus. Your angels are not stopped by any lockdowns or shutdowns enforced by people on earth. And so we ask that you administer to those who are shut in, people who can't go out anymore, and perhaps people who cannot be visited. We ask, God, that you would comfort and that your comforting touch might be upon Alice Anderson, Linda Barnes, Madeline Bickle, Betty Fritz, Aline Hale, Bonnie Fritz, Claire Potter, Bernie Rabb, and Ted Tompkins. We pray for each soul represented here that you would give them their daily portion of bread. We confess to you, Heavenly Father, that we've sinned. We've done things we should not have done, and we haven't done things we should have done. Please forgive us. And we ask, God, that you be gracious to us, our church, our country, our people, that your kingdom might come, and your will, like it's done in heaven in joy and rejoicing, might be done down here on earth too. Look upon this congregation, this association, bless it, protect it, strengthen it, encourage it. We pray for this brother from the Gideons. What an excellent ministry, sharing the Bible, the Word of God, with people all over. We ask that you had blessed them and bless the speaker. We thank you, God, for being good to us. We rejoice and thank you for it, and we look forward in faith to you being good in the future. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.
I felt this morning like I was singing a solo with all those songs, the sheer number of people, small number of people we have today. So I hope you were all singing good for your own benefit as well as the Lord. Before I have Robert come up, I just want to mention that if you were intending on writing a check in support of the Gideons, you can put it in an envelope. Are there envelopes in the pew still? Okay, good. So you could do that if you'd like. Make it out to the Gideons. You can leave it on the plates that are, of course, outside the doors as you're leaving. Or you can take the insert that's in our bulletins and send it direct to the Gideons that way. We have, I don't know, it seems like it was less than a year ago, right? Is it? Yeah. Yeah. So Robert Froman, we have been blessed by Robert and many testimonies of the Gideons in the past. And so I want to introduce Robert Froman from the Kalamazoo Gideon South Camp.
Who loves me?
Tells me so.
Who loves me?
You just heard a song that is probably familiar to most of you. Did you notice some words missing? What were they? Jesus and the Bible, that's right. Why are those words important? Because everyone needs to know that Jesus loves them, and the Bible tells them that story. You use the Bible to preach from, to teach from, and to study. Why do you use the Bible? Do you use the Bible because it is the best tool for telling the story of God's love? Over 120 years ago, three men started an organization to encourage and teach other men to study and spread the message of God's love to others as they were conducting their daily business. They were salesmen and on the road a lot meeting other businessmen, so they thought they had the perfect avenue for sharing just that message. As their numbers increased, their local churches saw the opportunity to help them by providing them with Bibles that they could leave in hotels and motels that they stayed at. That organization was the Gideons International. Today, over 120 years later, the Gideons are still an organization that trains business and professional men to study and share the story of God's love with others as they conduct their business. You might find a Gideon at a prison somewhere around the world, or maybe at a federal prison in Atlanta, Georgia, where a man like Chris would pick up a testament.
I got involved in drugs while I was in dental school, thinking that I could do both, be a graduate student by day and doing drugs and partying. Well, this whole time, my parents, they had been a Christian for several years now and just had really grown in their faith. My parents knew the only way they would be able to see me since I wanted nothing to do with them. They actually flew down to Atlanta one time, and after the second day, I kicked them out. But my dad, he wanted to give me something, and it was his very first Bible. And he left it on my kitchen counter. But as soon as they left, I took his Bible, and I threw it in the trash can. My mom prayed that God would do whatever it takes to bring this prodigal son to the Father. Well, this miracle, this answer to prayer came one day with a bang on my door. I opened up my door, and on my front doorstep were 12 federal drug enforcement agents, Atlanta police, and two big German Shepherd dogs. I just received a large shipment of drugs, and they confiscated all my money and my drugs, and I was charged with a street value equivalent of 9.1 tons of marijuana. I was walking around the cell block, and I passed by this garbage can, and as I looked at that garbage can, I felt like I was looking at my own life. And I was about to pass by that garbage can, but something on top of the trash caught my eye. I bent over, and I picked it up, and it was a Gideon's New Testament. I took that New Testament back to my cell, and for the very first time, I opened up that New Testament, and I read through the entire Gospel of Mark. And as I know today, what we have in our Bibles is not just ink on paper, but what we have in our Bibles is the very breath of God. And it's living and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. And as I began to read God's word, it began to penetrate me, and it began to cut through my stubborn, hard heart. He revealed his plan for my life, and he called me full-time ministry while I was in prison. So the greatest miracle of this whole story is that actually Moody accepted me. I was released from prison in July of 2001, and I started the very next month. I'm teaching now back at Moody in the Bible department, so I tell people I went from prisoner to professor. Only God can do that.
Or maybe a guy, Gideon, left a Bible at the Jefferson County Jail in Birmingham, Alabama, where Mary would find it.
I found myself in the Jefferson County Jail in downtown Birmingham, Alabama. There was a Bible there. I'd seen Bibles just like them in motel rooms everywhere I'd stayed. So one day alone in my cell, I picked up that Bible that I had shoved under the mattress. I just opened it up and kind of wandered through it and flipped a few pages of it. But as I did, my eyes were drawn to just two verses in the book of Ezekiel. A new heart also I'll give you. I will take that stony heart out of your flesh. When you're facing the rest of your life behind bars, there's nothing to lose. And so very quietly one night I knelt on that concrete floor in that little 5x8 jail cell, and I surrendered. And I knew in that moment, for the very first time, I knew that God had saved me. I was just blessed to be the person God used to start Angel Tree Ministries, because it's God. It's all about God.
You might find a Gideon Bible in a hospital like Borges here in Kalamazoo, or maybe at a hospital in Jalalabad, India, where a young man had just attempted suicide.
And I want to ask you, I understand that Gideon Ministry has a very special place in your heart. Could you share with us briefly what that is?
Yes, it actually is a, pardon the analogy, but the double-edged sword. I came to know Christ when I was in India on a bed of suicide at the age of 17, where this little Gideon's New Testament with the Psalms and Proverbs was brought to me. And that became my first Bible. It was through the scriptures that were read to me in the hospital room that I trusted in Christ. But then in 1984, when this ministry was begun, it was by a devout Gideon by the name of D.D. Davis from Youngstown, Ohio. I never saw D.D. without a Bible in his pocket. And D.D. is the one that funded this ministry, helped me launch it. In fact, his daughter is present at this conference. He became like a father to me, and when they buried him, it was with the word of God laid on his heart, because he loved the word dearly, loved the Gideons dearly.
You might find a Gideon at a school like what you see here in Kenya, Africa, or maybe in Kalamazoo at Western Michigan University, or maybe at Oklahoma City University, where a party guy like Craig hangs out.
Hi, my name is Craig Rochelle. I'm the pastor of LifeChurch.tv, and so much of what I'm doing today is a result of how God used the Gideons to get God's word into my hand to transform my life. When I was in college, my fraternity got in a lot of trouble. I was the ringleader in many ways of the trouble. And so as a PR move, even as a non-Christian, I decided to start a Bible study. The only problem was I didn't own a Bible. And the day that we were scheduled to have our Bible study, I was walking from one class to another when a gentleman, a Gideon, offered me a free green New Testament Bible. I can remember distinctly thinking, wow, if there is a God, he must have just worked through that guy. And sure enough, through the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, I read that you're saved by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, so no one can boast. And that's when spiritually I was born anew, forgiven of all my sins by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. To all those who serve in the Gideons, thank you for investing in me. For all those who are investing in the Gideons, thank you for making a difference in thousands of stories just like mine. The living word is active, powerful. Thank you for getting it out.
You might find a Gideon at a park like Historic Bridge Park in Battle Creek, Michigan.
I got involved with drugs, alcohol, prostitution. I was just trying to find something to fill the void that was in my life. I thought maybe if I had more things or had more drugs, or maybe that would be the solution, but it wasn't. It was a park similar to this right here, occupied by homeless. And I remember that Saturday morning, I had got up early, took a couple of hits of acid, tooted some coke, and I went for a walk in that county park in Battle Creek, Michigan. Here I was, a reject from the military. My third wife done walked out on me, and I just felt there's nothing else left but to commit suicide. But then there were some men in the park that day. They was witnessing to the homeless, and they were giving them these little testaments. And one of them came up to me, had a big smile on his face, and he said, "Do you know Jesus?" And that young man, he took that little testament and he opened it, and he showed me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And I personalized that. "For God so loved Leroy Kennedy that he gave his only begotten son." Then he opened it to the book of Romans, and he showed me how I can pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. It was that day I prayed. I asked Jesus to forgive me. I asked him to come into my heart, clean up my life, and to make me somebody. And the Lord heard that prayer, and the Lord answered that prayer. And I want you to know I was instantly healed from my dependency of drugs. And the rehab centers didn't do it, but when I asked Jesus to come into my life was cleaned up, and I was clear-headed of the drugs. And you know, for the first time, that void that I had been carrying around all of my life, all of a sudden I felt like a new person. I felt whole, I felt complete.
Or at Millen Park, having a picnic with the Gideons, like I was, when a little girl came up and asked me what I was doing. I told her, grilling hamburgers. She said she wanted a hamburger. I said I was grilling them for the Gideons, and she'd have to become a Gideon to have a hamburger. She said, "I want to become a Gideon." I asked her if she knew who the Gideons were. She said, "No." I asked her if she knew what a Bible was. She said, "No." Her mother told her it tells the story of Jesus. She knew who Jesus was. I told her, "We put the story of Jesus in hotels, jails, doctor and dentist offices so that other people can read about Jesus." I did not have an orange sidewalk testament with me, and I was not sure I had a testament in my car. Our president was on the way, and sometimes they bring a supply of testaments with them. I waited, and the little girl and her mother left the area before I could give her a testament. I kept thinking of that and went to my car and found a testament. When everyone showed up and we ate, I told some that I was going to clean up, take my testament, and walk the park looking for someone to share with. One of our camp members gave me another testament, and I had just put everything back in my car, and I turned around, and there was a boy and his mother, and she had a carriage with a little girl in it. I asked the boy if he wanted a gift. He said yes. I looked at Mom to make sure it was okay, and she nodded, and I asked him if he wanted a Bible. And he said, yes. And Mom nodded, okay. So I told the boy about the helps. They're in front of the Bible. And how they gave him Bible references for topics he might be interested in. I then asked him if he wanted to go to heaven. He said, yes. I asked his mother if it was okay to show him the way to heaven. She said, yes. So I turned to the back, read and explained the scriptures to him. He confessed he was a sinner and wanted Jesus in his heart. I prayed with him, helping him to ask Jesus in his heart. After we prayed, I told him he was now a child of God and was going to heaven. I talked with Mom and found out the family was new in the area, and I encouraged her to find a good Bible-believing church. I put the boy's name in the front along with my name and a phone number. I told her if she had any needs to give me a call. I found out the boy had an older brother, so I gave him the other testimony I had, and I told him he could use the back to help his brother go to heaven too. As I was leaving, I thought it would be nice to picnic there next year and come early, walk the park, and hand out scriptures. How can you help the Gideons? Prayer. Gideons do not hand out scriptures just to say we distributed over 2 billion scriptures. We hand out scriptures so that souls can be won for Jesus and lives changed. We do not do that. The Holy Spirit does. And your prayers help in that process. Look at the pictures behind me. See the joy and the wonder as these people receive a copy of the scriptures. Most would never have that joy if it were not for organizations like the Gideons. Every moment of the day, you can be praying for someone that just received a Bible and has opened it to read. Pray that the Holy Spirit would work in their lives to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Pray that the Gideons would be able to receive the funds to meet the needs and get the copies of scriptures into the hands of those that are needing it. Pray for the Gideon that gets up every day with a desire to place a copy of the scriptures into someone's hands. Another way you can help the Gideons is to give to the Gideons International. Today you will have that opportunity by leaving an offering as you leave. You can also give by using our Gideon card program. Behind me you can see several cards that can be given to someone you know for many reasons. You may just want to let them know you are thinking of them. Maybe they have just lost a loved one and you want to honor that memory. You can give a card to someone who has just done something significant in their life, and you want to honor that. You can take a Gideon card you find here in your church, write a note, send a gift to the Gideons in recognition of that event. And you can rest assured that 100% of what you give to the Gideons will go to the printing and distribution of scriptures only throughout the world. You can join the Gideons and learn how to live your life in a way that brings others to Christ. The passion that the Gideons have for the lost and the work that they do will soon become a part of your life too. We're an organization of professional and businessmen. Maybe you're not. There is a way that you can join. Become a friend of the Gideons. I have several brochures like the one you see behind me that explains how you can become a prayer partner or a financial partner. If you become a financial partner, you will receive 10 copies of the testament the Gideons use to win souls. They will not have the Gideon emblem on them, but they will be the same on the inside. The brochure will have all the information you need to make a decision and to take action on that decision. Remember, there are three ways to be a part of the Gideon ministry: prayer, giving, and joining. You can do one, or you can do them all. It's up to you. But there's one thing that all these testimonies that you heard have in common. Well, pretty much all of them. And that's $1.25. $1.25. Most of those testimonies you heard came from somebody picking up a little testament just like this. $1.25. That's all it takes to change your life. You heard about drug addicts. You heard about Mary. Yeah, Mary's an interesting one. I don't know if you know what Angel Tree is. How many are familiar with Angel Tree? Yeah, a few of you are. Well, Mary's an interesting lady. Yeah, she's a little older there, but when she was young and active, if you will, she was a really short, petite lady. She would dress up in a business outfit, carry a briefcase, walk into a bank, throw the briefcase up on the counter, and pull out a shotgun and ask for all the money. Yes. $1.25 can change a lady like Mary, who becomes someone that starts an organization like Angel Tree. For $5. It's estimated that 2,300 people will read a hotel Bible in its lifetime. And it costs the Gideons $5 to print and distribute this Bible into a hotel room. So for $5, you can affect 2,300 people with the scriptures. Your life can make a difference. All it takes is a little bit of effort and a little bit of desire, and the Holy Spirit works to change lives. I want to ask you to think about the three ways: prayer, giving, and joining. I'm going to ask you to do at least one today, if you would. And for that, I'm going to say that I hope that God continues to bless you, your church, and all that you do in the Kalamazoo area. Thank you very much.
Yes, it's only 11:40, and we're closing. Before I give a benediction, I just wanted to remind all of you, next week, Pastor Brad will be making his debut with us, so I hope we're here in full support. As much as we can be, we'll probably have the overflow room available in the Family Life Center, so I think we can find a place for you safely if that's important to you. So let's close with this, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to our God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You are dismissed.